This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thank you.
Next!
Okay. First things first, your exes should be blocked.
You know, acknowledging the good things and moving on.
We're not about bad vibes here.
Are you relationship experts?
No.
My pants were wet.
It ain't even about BDE anymore. It's about thank you, next energy, yeah?
It is fucking freezing. Halloween is finally over. Everyone is already talking about Christmas, and I've seen the shops bring back in Christmas shit. And we are also back in your ears.
We are. How was your Halloween?
I mean, the question's void because I didn't even know it was Halloween. How was your Halloween?
You knew it was Halloween. I've been telling you it was Halloween.
Yeah, but other than you telling me, I didn't make like an appointment.
What, who makes an appointment?
You, with a tarot reader.
Yeah, I made an appointment with it. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Welcome back to Thank You Next, a podcast about turning your L's into wins. I am Hardeep.
And I'm Raj. And if you're new to us, what we do here is talk in depth about the L's we've taken in any of the relationships in our lives and figure out what that L taught us. And once that L becomes a lesson, it becomes a win. That's how it works.
That's how it works around here. And when we say any of the relationships in our lives, we literally mean that. It could be our colleagues, our bosses, our besties, our haters, our lovers, our neighbors, or our Insta followers if they're following you back.
Everybody, basically. Everyone is a relationship.
Everybody.
Every week, we say thank you next to shit that we need to let go of for good. Not just a little break thing. It's like this is a forever thing. This is not something we want to revisit again in the future. So on today's episode, we're going to be joined by a guest who's going to give us an international take on everything. She's Seoul-born, Toronto-bred, and London-based DJ, club promoter, broadcaster, and podcaster. Oh, Annie O is our guest this week. She supported the likes of Khalees, Lizzo, and St. Vincent. Her new podcast, Don't Call Me Exotic, features conversations with creatives about their experiences of racism within the industry and how it's affected them throughout their lives and careers. So it's a deep one.
It is very deep. She actually had a singer-songwriter, Amala. She chatted about decolonizing her uni's curriculum, which was very interesting.
Wow, that's amazing, literally.
And she also had a booker, a music creator called Sean Gran. They basically chatted about security guards at events who have like a code sheet thing on how they describe people based on their race, and also how he came across like these racial slurs people were using in this code thing. Yeah, it's actually mad. So Annie is going to be telling us what she's saying thank you next to. We want to hear what you want to say thank you next to.
So make sure you email us at hi@thankyounextpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us about your relationship lessons, things that have made you want to say thank you next, or anything you want to share with us. And make sure that you're following us on all the socials for memes, videos from the episode, and spicy photos of us. Because it says here, because we're hot. Hardeep wrote that in the script, because we're hot.
We are hot.
And it is at Thank You Next Pod. We actually got a DM from Hodge, listener Hodge. And this is actually based on, I would say, a spicy photo of us, do I want to say?
Okay.
So you put up a picture of me, you and Hannah last night mm-hmm. from Underrated Podcast. But the thing is, it's spelled Underrated Podcast. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just if you want to listen to that episode, we were on an episode with Hannah talking about you, Made in Chelsea. We reviewed Queens. You chatted a bit about Harry Potter, you know. So yeah, Hardy put this picture up and Hodge DM'd us, said, Raj, I saw this and first thing I thought to tell you is you look great. just had to tell you. I was like, oh, that's sweethearts and all of that, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then she was like, nah, don't think you got the message. Let me tell you straight. Yeah. So then she,
oh, wow. Okay.
Then she sent me a second message in our DM saying, love the podcast and notice that sometimes you can make a little dig at yourself. This isn't criticism, I promise. Embrace you. And honestly, your post yesterday, I thought you go, girl.
Oh, that's sweet.
Do you think I come across as too self-critical on the podcast? Thank you, Hodge, by the way. I'm like,
I think there's only one thing that you're critical of yourself in, but definitely not your past relationships.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'm a bit critical of myself. The listeners have noticed. So I'm working on that. I'm working on self-love actively.
That's very sweet. Thanks, Hodge.
I'm going to take some notes from Hardeep about affirmations I can use to love myself. She can teach me later today. But other shit that went down this week, Hardeep.
Raj, you, for the third week in a row, you have taken yourself on an adventure somewhere.
Spiritual journey.
This week, you decided on Halloween you were going to go for a tarot reader. You found out all the ones were booked, so you went to some bloke. Tell us about this.
So I was trying to get a tarot reading. This was actually pre-Halloween, Halloween Eve. And I was like, yeah, this would be great because it's a good time to go for a reading because if your reader actually has spirit guides and stuff, Halloween is the time where the veil between that world and our world becomes thinner. So if guides want to come through and send messages, they can. I sound like a fucking idiot. I know.
Yep.
This was my thinking behind it. And I was like, maybe I'll get like a clear message, whatever, whatever. So I took my friend with me and I'm just going to tell you now, her name is Tish and she's white. And we ended up going to Richmond. And because I always walk past this place that has a tarot reader in. And I was like, okay, I know that this place in Richmond will have probably places because no one's ever in there or whatever. So we went and there he was. And it was a South Asian dude. And I wasn't expecting a South Asian dude because I don't really know a lot of South Asian dudes who read tarot.
What were you expecting?
An old mystic white lady with white hair and piercing blue eyes and funky clothes. I don't know.
And you had a South Asian man. What kind of shoes did he have on?
I didn't see his shoes, but he was wearing like black top to toe, just, you know.
He sounds adventurous.
He saw Tish first and I was just hanging about in the shop. He locked the shop and I was just hanging about and messing around in the shop for like half an hour while she was having her reading. And then when I walked into the room upstairs, I could see her cards laid out on the table and the table was full of cards. So she had pulled, I would say, at least 15 cards. When it was my turn to sit down, I sat down and he just kept having conversations with me, bearing in mind that he was clock keeping from 0 to 30 and he would not go over that yet. And I didn't know that he wouldn't go over that. I thought if he's going to talk a bit, he'll go over and do me a proper reading. But anyway, he was talking. He made comments on my appearance and told me that I was beautiful and all of that, which is okay to say once, I think. But then it came up in my reading, something about my appearance. And then he said it like a couple more times and it made me a bit uncomfortable.
Do you think with the beautiful thing, maybe he was just trying to get you on side? Maybe it works with other women.
I have no idea. So the first card he pulled was pain is a touchstone of spiritual progress. And I was like, yeah, like I've had a lot of shit going on like previously and whatever, whatever. And he was talking about the card, and I'm just going to show you the card. Like, the card is like this woman shrouding herself in this red cloak, and she's like, her body language is very much like closed up. And she's like, you know, it's like, you know, when someone's really cold and they're closed up and they're like wrapping a shawl around them. He was like, yeah, you don't really show yourself to the world. You're not comfortable. There's something about you. You don't feel comfortable showing yourself to the world, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I've put a lot of weight on since my ex and stuff, like since I
but you've up. Also started a podcast where you say everything every week.
Yeah but you have said this to me as well, that in photos and stuff I hide and I do all of that.
Yeah, you know you do that.
Yeah, I know I do that. So I was like, okay, that he's talking about that. I'm just gonna say it now. The ex that I do talk about, where I'm like, oh, it was awful and there was gaslighting and whatever, I was married. I'm just gonna say it now because it makes this story easy. I was married and I didn't want to say it before because I didn't want to say that I was divorced because I felt like somehow that was giving him power over me, that he was controlling part of my identity because that divorce signified something that happened with him in my life. But I'm over that now and I'm okay with saying it. I'm fucking divorced and I know that he doesn't get power from that anymore. I don't know why I even thought that, but that was my rationalization of it. But anyway, so I told him that I'm divorced and he was like, oh yeah, you know what? My parents didn't push me into any of that stuff. You ended up doing the rounds. You ended up doing whatever. He said something along those lines and he was like, oh, my parents never made me do that, probably because I'm a guy. And I was like, excuse me. I didn't have a forced marriage. I didn't have an arranged marriage. I was like, I married like my childhood sweetheart. And also not all brown girls are having arranged marriages. Like, I was like, it was a love marriage. Mm. And he just looked at me, but then he carried on like doing this whole thing. And during the card reading, he was trying to like sell his other stuff to me. Like, oh, come really? To my, yeah. Like, oh, you should try Reiki. I do Reiki. And oh, I do Tai Chi. You should do Tai Chi. Why should I do Tai Chi? I'm here.
Tai Chi is actually a vibe, you know? Just do it on YouTube though.
I could do it with you, but I'm just like, bro, like I'm here. You need to read my cards. Hardeep, throughout that card reading, I pulled 7 cards compared to Tish's like 15, 20. I was just like, what was that about? And then he just kept trying to talk to me. And like, I don't know what's wrong with and why this is happening to me. But it's like, why do I keep meeting these people where it's like, A, if I'm going to like a therapist and it's a white therapist, they're judging me because I'm brown. But then when I have this tarot reader who's meant to give you a reading based on the tarot, he's judging me because I'm brown.
You're not safe anywhere, mate.
You're not safe.
You're not going to go back then.
I will not be going back there. And then what I did was I went home and I did a reading myself, like for me and Tish.
You should have given him a Google.
But what should I say?
That he tried to sell you his other shit.
This man tried to tell me that I had a forced marriage.
Yeah. God, what was your mate's reading any good?
Yeah, it was actually, and you know what? My reading was good. It did tell me things that definitely related. And my mate's reading was all about travel and her boyfriend and things like that. And she's actually moving to Australia and all of that stuff came up in her reading. And relevant stuff did come up in my reading because he was right. Like I do hide myself. And then I guess those sort of things could apply to anyone as well. Mm. I'm sure everyone goes through that stuff. But yeah, there were bits, but I didn't think it was like the best reading I've ever had or a great tarot reading. I didn't feel satisfied that I'd paid someone to read my tarots. And I was so dissatisfied by it that I had to go home and read my own. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And my reading was miles better. So I was just kind of like, okay.
Can you do your own reading for yourself?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I did Tish's as well. And like, she started crying when I did her reading. It was that spot on.
Fucking hell.
So
guys, hire Raj for tarot readings.
I won't gaslight you and tell you you've had forced marriage.
Fucking hell. He sounds awful. He sounds like someone just gave him some work experience or something. Rude. So I watched Made in Chelsea and Raj's favourite character, who's, oh my God, absolute nightmare, Maeva. She is causing shite. So her and James have been having a bit of a break, and in their break, they're playing loads of games as well. So she was like, I need a break. And then she didn't go on his little family holiday. And then they come back together and she ended it after he found out that she was chatting to his ex. Not just chatting to her ex, like talking about her sex life and saying how the sex life with the ex was really good and how she's like bored and how they had so much passion. It was really fucking bad. Also, she is playing such a dangerous game. So anyway, then her actual boyfriend, who she's on a break with, James, went and kissed some girl on a night out when they're on a break or whatever. And she's going crazy. And she's like, the only way I can get my own back on James is to sleep with Miles. I can't fucking deal with this shit. They are so pathetic.
And you know what? Like, I know I said I really like Maeva and whatever. And I was basically...
You still do, yeah?
No, because I was basically saying that I think it's a character that she puts on, but I have it on actual authority by people who have worked on the production team that it's not a character and that that's actually who she is. I really did think that like this, it's not possible that this woman goes through life like in the way that she does. And I just thought, yeah, it's a great character that she's created with the production team for the show. But I heard a story about how the production team, someone on there forgot her birthday or didn't wish her a happy birthday when it was her birthday. And she was like, why haven't you wished me happy birthday? Da, 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 da. And she wasn't talking to them and all of that.
Mm.
They were like, I'm new. I didn't know. I've literally just started and I didn't know it was your birthday. She got really upset or whatever. And then I think they said something to her like, yeah, but Maeva, that's like you not knowing it's my birthday. Like it could be my birthday today and you didn't know. And she was like, yeah, but you're not on Made in Chelsea, are you?
Wait, I think the episode's dropped from this week of Must Have, but I don't know what's actually happened.
Oh, I've seen it.
Okay, I haven't seen, so don't tell me I haven't got that far, but I haven't seen what she decides to do. But I know she says to Miles, her ex, do you want to sleep together? And I was watching it and I was like, if he says yes, he's a fucking idiot. And then my housemate said, why wouldn't he? And I was like, because she's a headache. And then you've got that headache and the James in your life for the next like few months. That bullshit you want just from having sex with her one time.
I feel like Miles liked it and Miles enjoyed it up until a certain point. And I think Miles didn't want to admit that he enjoyed it to a certain point. I think Miles liked to hide behind this thing of, no, we have a history and we have love for each other, but there's nothing else there. But I think Miles is obviously going to have more than that to deal with now on his plate.
It's just history. I mean...
it's not history if you're actively still chasing it.
Yeah.
And they both still want to enable each other's bad behavior. But what I wanted to talk to you about this is that where we are seeing it from, it's a break. In the latest episode, all of a sudden this break gets labeled a breakup. And if you're on a break, what is acceptable for you to be getting up to if you are supposed to be taking space from the relationship and going potentially back to have a conversation with the other person about things?
I understand that when you are away from someone, or like you think, okay, you're in a relationship and now you're not, you're on a break, they probably think they've got a check. Have I still got it? Can I still pull? They probably want like their ego stroke. So I kind of get how it would happen. Something could happen. But I think if you're even chatting to someone or like flirting with someone, or all these things, I think about them as distractions. So for me, I'm saying absolutely nothing is acceptable. However, maybe they need that to work out where their head's at. Although I don't know if you need to bring outside forces in to work out where your head is at.
Because my thoughts on a break is that you kind of just are taking space from the relationship. But if you are chatting to other people, then you're exploring other options.
Mm.
Then it needs to be a proper breakup with no intention of going back if you're exploring other options. I mean, for me, I don't think it's cool to be exploring other options while you're still in it, or you're letting someone think that there's a chance that they're still in it.
I feel like people only say break so they can explore other options. I don't think anyone ever says break and means it.
And look inward in that time.
Yeah, who's done that in history? If you've done that, hi thank you next podcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, tell us if you've had a break and what's happened on that break and what happened during that time, and were you just looking inwards or were you actually exploring other options in that time?
I feel like it's an excuse to explore other options, but I cannot. I'm going to watch it after we record this because I need to catch up. But oh my God, I was fuming. I was literally shouting at the screen. I was like, for fuck's sake. And then my housemates were like, she can't be real. It's a fake character, surely.
It's not a fake. I'm telling you now, it's not a fake character.
She's a walking red flag.
But then I feel like, do all her issues just stem from the fact that she's still in love with Miles and she's
always going to be in love with him, and she needs to get over the fact that he didn't pick her, but she hasn't got over that yet.
So did she not pick James? How did James... I've forgotten how this even happened.
She only got with James to piss off Miles, but then I don't know why she would stay with him for 2 years. Obviously, she started to like him. Although, did you hear in that episode, she was like, buy me a house, buy me this, buy me that. Or he was saying, I'm going to buy you a house. Like, this guy with his red Ferrari or whatever, he keeps driving around the corner.
This isn't a spoiler or anything, but he was basically talking to the boys and he was like, she told me that she wants kids and that she wants a future and that she wants like certain things in life. So I've changed my life to give those things to her. So I work this much and I'm away for 3 nights a week because I'm working, because she wants this.
Why don't she work?
I don't know. Like, if anyone knows any of the answers to these questions about Maeva, tell us. Or if any of you actually have stories about meeting Maeva in real life, if you think that is a character, if that is real, like, tell us. Is she actually like that in real life? What is she actually like? DM us. It's Thank You Next Pod.
There you go.
Thank You Next.
We mentioned earlier that DJ and podcaster O Annie O, who you might know for her club night, Night Dreams, Represent Radio, or DJing at the littest events in London, is going to be joining us. So let's find out what she's saying thank you next to. Welcome to Thank You Next, Annie.
Hi.
So we have to ask, because I love Halloween, Hardy hates it, and it's been a big topic on the podcast. How was your Halloween?
Halloween was actually super fun, but it was really stressful. The thing is, I love Halloween, but I actually never end up dressing up because I can never be bothered to figure out what I'm going to do until like a week before. And then it's just too late to do anything. So I ordered about 4 costumes and all of them like arrived at different times. And like I ordered like props and stuff at different... It was honestly like the most stressful week up to Halloween, but I had a great time.
What were the costume? What were the ideas?
One was Lucy Liu from Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Because I get it all the time, like all these like racist remarks where people are like, you're like Lucy Liu. And I was like, you know what? This is the one day of the year that you can say that I'm like Lucy Liu. And anyway, that character is so badass in that film. So that was one. Another one was Sailor Moon.
Cute.
That just didn't arrive. What else did I get? I got like a dead beauty queen one, but it was just like the cheapest material. Like I couldn't. And then like a Batgirl costume, and that material, like, it's honestly, they're made of paper. Like, these costumes are so...
Why are they so shit?
I know.
I did actually see a really good one on TikTok today. A guy dressed as the old man from Squid Games. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
He puts like a bowl cap on and then like the wrinkles on the head and then the stanza ends with the mouth open. It's actually really good.
Yeah, there was a lot of Squid Game.
So you didn't dress up at all?
I just dressed up as my best self. I just like picked some shit out of my wardrobe.
Yeah, but
I dress kind of like extra most of the time anyway, so.
I did the same thing. I just dressed up as myself, but just went a little bit more extra. So I just had like glitter eyeshadow.
Exactly.
And fake lashes and blah, blah. I was like, I am myself. That's scary enough. Ah.
No, exactly. If you dress up every day, what's another day? You know what I mean?
But next year, I want to go hard. I want to be like Maleficent or I want to be, you know, Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman when she's like in the hooker outfit.
That's hot.
Yeah, I was just like, hopefully, I'll be going gym properly. Like, you know, I'll just be like...
So you need to start preparing. Like, I'm going to start preparing like now because I can't have this week again.
100%.
But neither of us went to Maya Jama's party. What the hell goes down at Maya Jama's party?
Oh my God. It was so much fun. Like the music was just, and I'm not just saying this because I DJed.
Because you DJ.
But like the music was just so good all night. Like, you know how sometimes you go to parties and like, you'll like hang out because when there's different rooms and stuff and like loads of places to go, like you'll kind of filter in and out. But like, I was just dancing the whole time and like, yeah, it was really fun.
Wait, who had the best outfit there though? Obviously
Maya.
other than Maya, who had the best outfit?
Oh my God. There was a lot of rum flowing that night.
Was Marge Simpson there? Didn't one of the Little Mix girls dress up as Marge Simpson?
Oh shit.
And she looked banging.
She did look amazing. There were a lot of people that went that I saw in pictures posted afterwards that I didn't even see. Amelia, you know, who does Chicken Shop Day. She dressed up as like the Drake cover.
I love that. I love that.
That's
cool. See, Amelia's fucking creative.
I've not actually seen a picture of it. I saw her picture of the picture, but I haven't seen her. I want to see it.
No, you know what? I did see her and I saw she was pregnant, but I couldn't clock what she was. But now you've just explained, so that makes sense.
Oh, that's so fucking funny.
And Munya dressed up as Salt Bae. That was really good too. It's all coming back to me now.
So congratulations on your podcast, which is called Don't Call Me Exotic.
Yes.
What made you decide that it was time to hear about creative stories, like, you know, stories of racism within the institution or like within their day-to-day lives? What made you think, okay, this is it, this is the time?
Basically, in March this year, after the Atlanta shootings happened, and we were all like physically isolated and locked down anyway, but I have never really had a really big like East Asian community around me. And after that happened, I basically had like a mental breakdown because it was just so intense. And like, we're already been locked up for almost a year. And it was just like to go through that, like already physically isolated, but then also feel like I didn't have a community to reach out to speak to. I don't have family in the UK. So it was just like, I had a mental breakdown and I just thought I was just so angry just being triggered by absolutely everything. Yeah. So like, even when I'm just trying to relax, like watching Netflix or whatever, I was just like watching TV and I'm watching the shows and just being like, why isn't there fucking representation of, you know, East Asian faces or, you know, like South Asian faces? Like just, it's, you know, everything was triggering me. Like I couldn't even fucking like relax. And I was just so angry and I just had such negative energy inside me. And I was just like, I need to do something with this. Like I can't just sit here. Like it's going to eat me up inside or like it's just going to like kill me or something. Like I need to do something. Because, you know, during that time, like March 2020, April, May, like all we could do is like go for walks and shit.
Yeah.
So I was listening to like a lot of podcasts. I was listening to a lot of music and stuff. And I just felt like, and it was such a solitary time that I felt like, you know, what I could have had done with to kind of help that healing process was, you know, to listen to conversations of other people like myself who work in the creative industry, who aren't, you know, cis white men, and to just kind of talk about their experiences. You know, yes, we can talk about, you know, white supremacy and it's really intense and it is really daunting, but sometimes it's like funny. Like when I say funny, it's not like haha funny, but these shared experiences, like if we just talk about them, it takes the weight off. And it, you know, the human connection, like that's what I felt like I could have done with, and there wasn't anything out there like that I could reach out to. So I was like, I'll just do it.
And who's been your favorite guest on the podcast?
Oh, you can't ask me that.
I'm just gonna ask, who's had the best stories?
I wouldn't say like there's a favorite or anything like that. But so Alice is, she's mixed race, but she's East Asian as well. And she DJs. And so we kind of had like similar kind of DJ stories about like the racist shit that we get like from bookers or promoters and just people coming up to us when we DJ. So I would say that was, she was one that I could really relate to the most.
What kind of shit do you guys get though?
Whoa.
Because I've seen you at gigs. I've been at your gigs and like, obviously I've never seen anything go down. Like, you seem totally comfortable. But then I'm guessing I've probably seen you at gigs where that shit doesn't happen.
I mean, they also happen so quickly as well. So, you know, I get a lot like, oh my God, you're like Peggy Goo. And I'm like,
oh like, my God. Okay.
Cool. Like she's an, like she's such a cool person, but like she plays like techno. And right. I'm playing
yeah, she
like
plays different, very different
yeah, I'm
music.
Playing, like if I'm playing like, I don't know, hip hop or like R&B or whatever, it's like you literally just see an Asian woman DJ.
I was just thinking when about the Lucy Liu thing, isn't it mad that that's the only other thing that people can say? Like that's
it's
how
the only
little...
cultural reference. Yeah. There's no representation. She hasn't even.
Yeah.
I guess I think maybe she was in something recently, but she hasn't really been in.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
She hasn't.
So it's just like, you know, maybe that's the only reference we have of like actress like from 10 years ago, I guess.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I think Sandra Oh's oh, about yeah, now. Sandra. I was just thinking like, oh, yeah. but that's it. There's no way. It's like, I feel like, you know, sometimes you look at stuff and you're like, can there only be one at a time? Is that what it is? Because like when I look at other types of diversity, I'm like, okay, there's like 10 people in that room or 20 here or whatever. But then when I look at South Asian and East Asian, it's kind of like, oh, there's like two, you know?
It's that feeling of tokenism.
Yeah.
It's like you almost feel like, oh, there's one, so there can't be another. Because that space is so small already. So it's like the space for women is so small anyway. Yeah. And then to add another layer of race on top of that. So when someone does make it or someone breaks through, you almost feel like, well, there's no space for me because there's one.
I've definitely thought that.
Which is like an absolute crazy thing.
I've definitely
thing.
Felt that way. Like if there's been some sort of area I want to get into or job I want to go for and there's like somebody who's like me that's, you know, actually, if it's someone who's completely not like me, it makes me feel a little bit better sometimes. I'm like, oh, I still have a chance, which is fucking mad.
Yeah. But then it's like, we shouldn't have to place those ideals within ourselves because I think this is a lot to do with women as well, where it's like, we always have to have a USP. It's like, what can you do? So if like, I'm a DJ, it's like, okay, I'm a DJ, but what else am I doing? I have to do X, Y, and Z. I have to like stand out. It's like, do you think people ask that of white men? Like, what makes you stand out? They're enough. And I feel like with women, and especially women of color, it's like, well, what makes you stand out? Why do you deserve a seat at the table?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
Which is kind of like why people decide to sort of set up their own tables and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, me and Hardeep have had many conversations off air about, okay, we need to set up a table. Like, how are we going to do it? And we're still figuring it out. We kind of really haven't figured it out. But have you thought about anything like that?
I mean, I started a club night because when I quit my job to do DJing full time, I was in the scene like that as much. So I wanted to get club bookings, but I obviously like wasn't in the scene yet. I was quite fresh and new. So I was like, well, why don't I just put on the night and then I'll just book myself as the headline DJ.
Love that.
So in a sense where it's like, if you do feel like all the doors are closed, then, you know, it kind of makes you think outside the box and make your own tables, like you said. So it kind of gives you like free reign, doesn't it? Because you're like, well, it hasn't been done before. So I might as well
clever.
Do it.
Very clever.
That's on a good day though. That's on a good day. Though like some like there are days where you just like, oh, like every day it's the patriarchy and like white supremacy, you know, like it would be good to not be the first all the time, but
yeah, it'll be like the only female Asian girl, like, you know.
Yeah,
I heard that you talk about that a lot on your podcast, and I always feel like that, like when I'm in certain teams or whatever, and then they kind of look to you to be like the voice of everyone. Like you have to be the voice of everyone. And especially if you're on a team where you're like advising them on how to do things, you're kind of like, well, maybe you want to talk to a few more people than just me.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, because like, I don't know, I've had it before where friends will ask me stuff about being Indian and I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm the right person to ask about this shit. Like sometimes I don't know shit or I might get something wrong. I don't think like I'm the spokesperson.
But then like, I mean, because I think that too, because a lot of people are like, you watch anime, right?
Yeah.
I'm like,
wow.
I actually I actually don't.
Yeah.
But like, but then I'm just like, oh my God, am I a bad Asian? But then it's like, but why does, no, exactly. Like being Asian doesn't mean one thing. Like yeah. I am Asian, I'm East Asian. And like who I am is enough. Like I'm fine just being me, you know, like it.
I have a question though on anime.
Yes.
If a guy or whoever, whatever. Okay, right. If a human who really liked anime tried to talk to you and brought up the fact that they liked anime, is that a red flag?
Do you know, I was actually thinking about this, like knowing that I was going to come on this podcast.
Oh, wow.
There are sometimes I go on a date and then they're like, yeah, I read like anime. And I'm just like, am I just a fantasy? Or do you know what I mean? I'm just there I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Oh my God.
I did see, what's it? When I was on Hinge, like, was I on Hinge? No, I wasn't. What was I on?
Bumble. You were on Bumble and Hinge. Bumble. And The Pattern.
I was on Bumble before I moved here, so like 2 months ago, and then I deleted it. But right before I did, I kept seeing like long-haired guys, like beach wave, elephant trouser vibe. And I was just like, I can't, because I know you love this. Yeah. Like, I know you. And that would put me off. That would make me feel a bit sick.
Yeah.
It's like there's just a box insert.
Yeah. It's a fantasy that they have in their minds. And don't get me wrong, not all anime watchers are whatever, but if you're yeah. if you're saying, I don't know, it just feels a little bit weird. And then I think I'm just like hyper aware of like everything else they say, if they say that. But yeah.
Do you get weird people on dating apps? Are you on dating apps?
I've actually deleted everything.
Why?
I've just had like a bad few months of dating and I've just been like, I'm wasting so much money and time and energy.
Oh shit.
I was just like, I just need to start. Like,
are you doing like big first dates? Because I spoke to someone about this before and I was like, oh yeah, a first date, go like mini golf. And they're like, no, go for one drink and that's it. And I was like, what? Like, you barely get to know someone in a drink. Are you going on luxurious, lavish dates or just...
No, I just like just go for drinks and just drink a lot.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah.
Not just the one.
Okay, all right. My friend's got a rule, one drink, 1 hour, bye, see you.
That's it.
Yeah.
Were you dating in the panini then?
I was having phone dates.
That's cute.
So how does that work?
Just talked on the phone for a really long time. And yeah, it was weird though.
Like FaceTime or literal phone?
Like phone.
Oh, wow.
One thing we actually didn't ask you is, when is the last time that someone called you exotic?
Oh, God. Do you know what? I think it's probably before the pandemic.
Oh, shit.
Probably in person.
What do you say to that?
I honestly, I've just started walking away.
Okay.
Like, I just I can't even, like, engage because it like, fucks up my energy.
I was once sitting opposite this guy when I was just newly single and I was, like, trying to understand what is going on in the world and how to survive as a singleton. And he was like, where are you from? And I was like, you know, you can't ask that. Like, you can't. And then he was like, why not? And I was trying to explain how it's like rude and stuff. And he was just not having it. And he's like, look, Marie, where are you from? Like, you look like, they love this as well. They're like, you look a bit Greek, a little bit
Cypriot. You look like...
I'm fucking Indian, mate.
Yeah.
I'm Indian.
Here we go.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, people ask me if I'm Japanese all the time. Like in the post office yesterday.
Right.
Where are you from?
Oh, wow.
Japan? I'm just like, why does it matter? Like, why? Like, literally, what? Because whenever someone asks that, because I'm sure you guys get it all the time. Where are you from?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Where are your parents
yeah. from? Oh, my God. It's just like, what? I don't know what it is. Like, the entitlement that they feel like they can ask that question. It's just like wild. I would never think to ask that. Like, it's different if you're having a conversation with someone and you're getting to know them and you're like, oh, like, where are you from? Like, blah, blah, blah. But if it's someone trying to chat you up or just like a random guy in a shop, you're just like, why? So you can put me in a box in your head with your preconceptions of like who I am.
Yeah.
Based on where you think I'm from. It's just like, I don't know.
It's weird. Cause then I think when a guy does it, like, I don't even know if they know that they're being like that. And I think they're trying to find some common ground with you. So they're trying to be like, oh, I know that. Oh, I know.
I know Indians eat curry.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, you know, they need to do that thing where it's just like, oh, nice shoes. Or I don't know, fucking, but they always want to go there. Like, where are you from? Yeah. And you're like, excuse me.
What did you guys say to that?
I'm always like, what do you mean by that question? I start interrogating them back. But then they're always like, where are your parents from? But then I'm like, what are you going to do with that information of where my parents are from? Like, where are you going to take that? You know, are you doing a census? Like, where is it? So yeah, I kind of just sort of start on them now. But like, I think before I would always be like, guess. And that was like my ignorance. You know, like when you're like flattered and you're a teenager and you're like, this guy's trying to be. And I'm like, guess. And then they'd always guess these stupid things like Turkish, this, that. And you're just like, oh my God.
They want you to be Turkish.
Are you just standing there while they're just listing? Oh my God. But yeah, no, I just, now that I'm getting older, I'm just like, I just walk away. I'm just like, I can't even be bothered.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's actually fucking stupid. But obviously you've been doing a lot more dating than me and Hardeep have during the pandemic and even I'm assuming before that, because like I'm almost a virgin again now, I think.
Oh my days.
Hardeep, what about you?
Mate, I am one. I am one. Are you mental?
You guys have a dating podcast.
I know.
Yeah, we have a podcast about dating relationships.
It's because we have failed relationships.
Oh, all of mine have failed. It's fine.
It's fine, but you learn from the failures, and that's kind of what the podcast is about, like learning from the failures.
Yeah, friendships, family, I've still got those.
Yeah, those are the ones that count, though.
And it's hard to navigate things. I've realized lately I'm really bad at communicating, so that's generic to all relationships.
Really? Because when I was listening to your podcast, you're Pisces, aren't you?
Yeah.
So why are you bad at communicating? You're doing it wrong.
Sometimes it's just hard saying things. Sometimes.
I'm a Pisces as well, and I talk about my feelings all day long.
Oh, talk about my feelings. Yeah, maybe not. I think I wait too long when I'm annoyed about things. I think that's the thing that I need to fix up. Anyway, sorry, moving on. Raj, you were going to say
something.
You've
got a Pisces sister on the podcast,
babe.
Yeah,
I know. Fucking hell. Actual Pisces. Okay, so we do a lot of stalking of tweets. A lot. I go proper down. I don't stop. You know, it's like scroll more. I don't stop. Something else you tweeted about is responding by saying some women actually love the attention at the gym when a woman says that they feel uncomfortable at the gym because of men is one step away from, but what was she wearing, and promotes rape culture.
It's true.
Yeah. Do you go gym, by the way?
Yeah, can you tell?
You're wearing a jumper, I can't tell.
Yeah, I try.
I actually can't tell.
I try to go gym, but I feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I was saying to Raj, I've never stepped foot in one because I can't, knowing that you're in there, eye view and they can see.
And all the exercise I want to do are like, where I'm just like,
booty.
Bent over.
Like, yeah.
So it just makes me feel uncomfortable. And like, yeah, I wish there were more like women's only gyms, but they're not so common.
I have to tell you guys a story because I know one of my friends, she actually, I believe she met her husband at the gym.
Okay.
And I was like, how the fuck did that happen?
Also, I don't understand when people meet people at the gym. It just, I don't want anyone talking to me at the gym.
I swear, I look like a mess, mate. Like, I feel like the gym that I went to before, it was a gym that my dad was going to, like, for years and years and years. So everyone kind of knew who my dad was and everyone knew I was his daughter. So people knew not to fuck with me. But then it was also one of those gyms where it's like all the Hounslow boys and everyone goes, like, you know, like all these Asian rude boys and stuff. And so it's kind of a gym where you don't, like, I got put off going anyway. Like, then after the pandemic, I was like, that's it. I'm investing in equipment. I've just got equipment at home now and I just do my own thing. But yeah, for someone to even come up to you, but like, yeah, I think he started chatting to her in the gym. And then from there, he asked her, he kept seeing her around the gym and then he asked her out on a date.
Fucking
and
hell.
Now they're married and they've been married for like a long time.
I don't believe it. It's impossible.
I will get a voice note from her to tell us the story.
No, because like the reason why I tweeted that was I was dating this guy and then.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We were having this conversation. This is like kind of early on in the dating. And then, no, he was like, oh, there was someone working out in front of, well, no, not in front of. She was just working out. And I think she had like a hole or something in her trousers or something like that. So he was like, oh, like I let her know that there was a hole, like she had a hole. She was like, oh, thank you. Like, I guess that's why people were looking or whatever. And I was like, oh, she must have felt so uncomfortable, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, yeah, but sometimes like girls love the attention. Like they wear tight stuff to get attention. I'm like, I think they're just wearing, like, they're literally, no, she's, women wear.
What else are you supposed to wear at the gym?
I was like,
hello?
What?
You're working on your form. You're not going to wear the baggiest of shit. How are you going to see your form when you're doing your sets and stuff?
Also, when you move around in baggy clothes, it just like flaps about. So like, if I wear a baggy top, it's like flapping about.
Yeah, you want to be like held in.
Do you know what I mean?
But no. I was like, you can't, I mean, honestly, women are not there to perform for you. Like sometimes we just go places and wear things. And I was like, red flag, red flag, red flag.
Oh my God.
I was really thinking about how women's bodies are sexualized this week. So I was just looking in the bus and I was really deep in it for a second. I was just like, wow, you're told that if you wear something, you're asking for, like, that's, it's just
exactly
fucked. Like, and who even said that? Well, like, this carries us around. Our bodies carry us around, you know? Like, keep us moving. Why is it now a problem?
We're just like objectified. It's and disgusting. Do you know what? He ended things with me. How crazy is that?
Rude.
Yeah, not having it. We're not even going to talk about it anymore. Before we get into our relationship lessons, we're going to warm up and say thank you next to something that's just like got on your nerves a little bit recently. So
oh my God,
tell
so
us
much.
What are you saying thank you next to?
Where do I even start? Well, I think there's a nightmare happening in London right now, and it's called the cab crisis. Mm-hmm. What is happening?
It's awful.
Sunday, my whole Twitter feed was just people talking about Uber and Bolt prices and stuff.
Yeah.
So on Saturday night when I was trying to get home, it tried to charge me from London Bridge to Walthamstow. It tried to charge me £90.
Oh, what the fuck? That's
wow.
insane.
£90. And then like the exec was like 140. I was like, where am I going? I could fly to like Spain for this money.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That is actually insane.
Was that Uber? Did you look at Bolt then? Was Bolt cheaper?
So that was Bolt and I couldn't even get an Uber. An Uber was like, it just kept doing that thing where it just like connects and then disconnects and then connects and disconnects. And yeah, I just couldn't get one. So I got the night bus.
I was going to say, why didn't you get the bus in the first place? Surely it wouldn't take that long.
It was early in the morning and I was dressed in like the tightest dress because I was dressed up for Halloween and I was tired. Like I had a long day and normally that should only cost like £30 or £40, which is like fine for that time of the night, but yeah, I got a night bus and I fell asleep. I don't like that. And then like some weird creepy guy came and sat next to me.
Now I understand. Right, okay. So it was I had the same problem. It took me an hour and a half to get home. It was Addison Lee and then I had to get a black cab on Saturday.
Oh, so I was just gonna say maybe we should try Addison Lee, but you tried Addison Lee.
No, Addison Lee was fucked.
It's the same.
Yeah.
What do we do?
We just have to
what do we actually do?
Walk.
Get black cabs.
I couldn't even find one.
There's a black cab app now. So what? I think maybe we need to get that. Yeah. And they just find you a black cab, like, and it'll come to you.
Do you think they're doing this on purpose? Why is this happening?
I have no idea.
Yeah, when did this start? This started like, this wasn't throughout the whole pandemic. It's only been the last few months that this has been happening.
Yeah.
So it's like, what caused it?
Do you think like less drivers exist now or something?
They're all still about. Mm. Like the other day when I got an Uber, I was like, oh my God, thank you for coming. Oh my God, thanks for not cancelling. Oh my God. And he was just like, what the fuck is wrong with this
girl? Chill out.
Yeah.
It is that deep though.
It is. You're just like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, thank you. Which is so bad. Like, we're literally paying them to do a job.
I know. We're overpaying. We're always overpaying now. It's never a normal rate to get over.
I couldn't believe it.
Fuck?
£90. I couldn't do that. Just the principle of it. I was like, I can't.
Yeah, that's fucked.
I can't. But I get to get the night bus and then get another cab to take me to my door, which was £20.
Okay, that's annoying.
fuming.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so if anyone knows what the fuck is going on with Ubers and Addison Lee and Bolt right now.
We just want to get home.
It's actually insane. I wish I had like a family member who was a taxi driver.
I just want to get home.
I mean, if we were all Asian stereotypes, we would have a family member. But there you go. We're not all Asian stereotypes.
Raj, I feel like if anyone here.
Yeah.
I feel like you would have a taxi driver in the family.
My uncle, when he moved to New York, he drove a yellow cab for a long, long time, but he doesn't anymore. But yeah, he did for a bit. So I think every immigrant has to do it, you know? They all have to do it. He moved from India straight to New York, so what else was he going to do, you know?
Well done.
Yeah.
Thanks, but next.
So we're going to get onto your first lesson. So one taught me...
not to expect what you would do for them to be what they give in return.
Oh, shit. What led this to being a lesson for you?
I think because I'm quite a giving person in a relationship and quite a thoughtful person as well. So like I would do like cute little things and, you know, thoughtful little gifts and stuff like that. And then I would disappoint myself because I'd be like, why don't they do anything like that for me?
Are we talking about like relationships, like even your friendships or specifically relation?
Actually friendships as well. I think all general relationships. And I'm like really trying to take that into consideration now because I'm thinking every time I do something, I was expecting them to have the same thought process back or like give what I would do in that situation. And then I just disappoint myself and I'm just like breaking my own heart because I'm just like, well, they must not care about me enough because they're not doing the same thing back to me. But it's like, well, actually, everyone's idea of love and giving and how they care for people is different.
But it's so hard because like I feel like I'm exactly the same as you. Like I'm very giving and I'm very like, oh my God, you need help? I'll be there. I'm giving you help. No,
let me drop everything and be there for you.
Let me drop everything. La, 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 la. And then you're like this weird Disney character that's just like making everything better for them. But it's like, it's so hard to not expect what you do for them back off them. Because it's like, let's say if I'm offering someone support during a time of need for them, I would then expect support from them during my time of need. Or like if I'm celebrating them, I would expect them to celebrate me back when there was an excuse to celebrate me. But then when that doesn't happen, I'm like, and then I'm like, are these not basic principles of friendship?
Yeah. I mean, I think if I'm going to do something nice for people or like, you know, support them and stuff, I just want to make sure that I'm happy to do that for them without anything in return.
Yeah, I think you have to ask
yourself, if I'm happy to, maybe like a common thing, I guess, in friendships is like showing up for people's birthdays, right? Yeah. So if I'm like, if I'm showing up for someone's birthday party or a celebration or whatever, I just want to now make sure that I'm going just because I'm happy to just go and be there for them, not like, oh, well, I'm going to make sure that you come to mine. Like it's not like a give or take thing. And I think like, you know, there's maybe that's like kind of more of a superficial kind of example, but I mean that does happen. Like I've been hurt by friends not showing up for birthdays and stuff, but I want to just try to make sure that I'm like doing things and that's enough. And I don't, if they don't do anything back for me, then I'm at peace with just doing that for them. Because then you just disappoint yourself and then nothing's actually happened and you're just like sad.
I think I learned this definitely the hard way, where I thought, oh, I'm okay. And so, someone I knew was struggling. And I was like, oh, I'm going to keep giving because they need my help. To the point of like, I felt completely depleted after. But now I feel like I try and just be not depleted and then help little bits.
Yeah.
But not go over the top to the point where I have nothing left in me. But I think also when you talk to people about this, you've got to talk to the right people. Because I remember I was telling someone, oh, my friend is struggling. And they were like, you've got to do everything you can do. Everything. And I like listened and I was like, yes, that's the right thing to do. But it's completely like wrong advice at the time.
Yeah.
I think like you have to take care of yourself first, right? So like if you're going to be able to support a friend or a partner or whatever, like you can't support them the best way you can unless you're healthy and like happy as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, I was the same and I'm just trying to move forward by like listening to myself first, which is why I'm not dating.
Right. Do you like check in with yourself now then when something happens?
Yeah, the way that you would speak to a friend. So if I'm having a bad day, if I just felt like really shit that day, don't exactly know why, instead of like forcing myself to do something, I'm going to talk to myself as if I was my friend rather than just within myself. So like, you know, if your friend was like, oh, I kind of had a shit day, you'd be like, oh, like take it easy, like have a bath, like order food, just watch a movie, like just chill. Yeah. But then when that happens to you, you're like, well, I have to do this and this and this. And it's like, you know, I'm just trying to like talk to myself as if I'm like a friend. So I'm just there by myself talking to myself.
That's nice. And it's something I think you really have to remind yourself to do. Cause I don't think me and Raj were talking yesterday and we were both feeling pretty shitty. And I don't think I would talk to her as I would to a friend, and she would give me advice as a friend. But I'm sure we were talking about inner voices as well. I'm sure our inner voices are just not always the nicest.
I wonder why that is.
Then I don't know if it's because, you know, we're creatives, and then I think every creative has this thing in them where they're a perfectionist to a certain amount.
100%.
And that perfectionism can fuck with your creativeness as well, actually.
Yeah.
And I think that's why sometimes we're so harsh. But then I can't speak on behalf of people who aren't creatives, like, but I feel like it's a running theme with people who are like, I think we are really harsh on ourselves, and we're like, you should be doing better, bitch, rather than
I mean, I guess like with like doing things in the creative field is like when you're making things, when you're putting something together and then putting it out, it's going to be judged by so many people. So you, before that happens, you're like almost want to be like even harsher so that whatever you put out's the best that you think that you can put out.
That's interesting.
But it's like the absolute worst. I don't know why we do it.
It's true. You know, like you've given us examples of like the birthday stuff and things like that. But if it was something a little bit deeper than that, like let's say if it was a support thing and like you've given someone support and then you've realized that they're not supporting you in a time where you needed support.
Yeah.
Would you just be able to move on from that now? Because you're kind of like...
I'm actually kind of going through something like that with a friend at the moment where...
I think we all are. Don't worry.
Yeah. It's been a long 2 years. But I think what the Panini did like help us is that, you know, everyone is literally going through something.
Yeah.
And it's everyone's just kind of going through it. So like, you know, so basically what's happening is that my friend of like many, many years, we don't live in the same city, so like we can kind of support each other in like a remote setting. We can go months without talking, but then when we do, or like when we reach out, it's like really important and special. But like a few things that happened in my life that were really big achievements, but also like hardships as well, they kind of happened like within a few weeks, and I really could have done with like her support. And she knew of the things that happened, but she just wasn't there for me. And this is kind of going to my first like lesson, where if that was the other way around, and I kept thinking that, I was like, if it was the other way around, like I would be there for her, like I would totally be there, like on the phone or physically, whatever I could. But then now I'm just realizing, you know what, like she's not supporting me because she doesn't like me anymore. It's that she's obviously going through something and she can't be there for me. So instead of like being mad at her for not being able to support me, I'm just like currently like trying to get some space and being like, okay, she can't offer me what I need at the moment. I'm not getting what I need from her. She's obviously going through whatever, and I'm not ready to kind of reach out to her to see what's going on with her. So I don't know, maybe we're just like not friends anymore. But I think I just need that initial space and then kind of go back to it and open up that communication.
I feel like things happen in waves. Like one time, if I'm feeling good, Raj is feeling down. If Raj is feeling down, I'm feeling good, and we can like help each other. But say if I was feeling down for a week and then I came out for one day and I was like, I'm alive again.
Yeah.
And then Raj's got a problem. There's a part of me, obviously I want to help her a bit, but it's like, you can't give too much, like we were saying, because it's like, I've just had like a bit of air to breathe again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So how do you guys get through that?
Oh, I was using Ratchet. That's not happened yet.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's an example. She's just giving examples. But I've been through this a lot, and I wasn't feeling great. And like Halloween, like I went to meet my mate. It was very like, that was not the Halloween I expected to have. But he's going through a really rough time at work, and I ended up like literally giving him therapy, and I wasn't in the best of places myself. But I find that this is why it's so hard for me to accept this lesson, is because regardless of how low I might be feeling or how shit I might be feeling, if my mates are going through it, I can still be there for them, and it's no skin off my back.
Yeah.
But then I've also got to just accept as well that not everyone's built like that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just Maybe I'm just built like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
And not to get upset. You're right, because most people probably aren't acting a way around you because they don't like you, but it is the first thing you sort of go to in your head. You're like, they don't like me?
Like, what? How can you not like me?
yeah, exactly. But you're right. Like, it is probably because they're going through their own shit, or yeah, I think space is probably the best thing to do. You're right.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what I need to do, just give everybody space up in here.
I think, like, if you're good enough friends with people, you can just kind of reach out a little bit and be like, I just need a little bit of time. If it's an emergency, I'll be there. But like, I just need some space, which I actually haven't done, but maybe I should.
But you're going to do now.
I'm going to do now.
Yeah. All right. So what are you saying thank you next to?
Having any expectations.
Basically, don't have any. It is true. When you have expectations, that's when you're...
Just set the bar really low. And then everything.
Oh my God, no.
No, I'm joking.
No, we need to find a balance. That's just it though, isn't it? Because you don't want to just let everything slide. So it's like, okay, maybe some level of expectation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Figure out the boundaries, I guess.
Yes.
No, but well, like if you apply it to like a night out, if you're like, I'm going to have a great time, it's going to be great. That's when I feel like it'll be shit. That's when I think not to have too high expectations, but like to just do something like, oh, hey, Raj, you want to go here? Okay, yeah. And then you just go there and then it's actually all right.
Like when we were in Notting Hill, did you have no expectations of that day?
I had no expectations. I was feeling really sad the other week and then Raj took me for food. Oh. I had no expectations.
Cheered her up.
I just thought we'll have some food.
You know, if you're ever feeling shit, I would just say go for a walk in Notting Hill because everyone owns beautiful dogs. Like, you just be like, that doggy, this doggy, hi doggy. Just like, you just forget what you're going through. I love that place, man.
Next.
We're on lesson two now. So one taught me
to not project my insecurities onto them and then pick fights based on these insecurities.
This is so specific, we were saying.
Was it not supposed to be specific?
No.
It's just very funny. It's just funny.
It's very good. Okay. Talk us through this. What's happened? What insecurities have made you project and caused a few arguments?
One specific event comes to mind, and it's like when I was seeing this guy and I would get jealous of other girls that he would know. And then so he would invite me to these places and there's just like really like hot girls. Mm-hmm. And like I kind of knew them too, but I was like, oh my God, like I was intimidated. And then I'd just be like, I'm not going to go. Da-da-da-da-da. And then like we ended up having this like fight because I didn't want to go because I was insecure. And it was my own shit that I was putting on him. You know what I mean? He was just like, I just wanted to invite you to a party.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Did you tell him why in the end? Did it come out why?
Yeah.
How did you have that conversation?
I was just like, do you know what? Like, this specific situation makes me feel insecure because these girls are really hot.
Okay. All right. Okay. What did he say?
He was just like, yeah, but that's like, I just wanted to invite you to a party.
Yeah.
That was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Here we are.
Yeah. So that was my bad, but we learn.
We do learn.
I think
I've done the same.
Projecting insecurities onto them. I see. This is just it. So in my notes, I've written, I've had people use my insecurities to pick fights with me, and then I wrote LOL, really, like in caps.
No.
Yeah, and it's like, and it really gets to me. Like I remember an ex of mine called me aggressive, and he really used to gaslight me and stuff. And he called me aggressive, and then like 2 months later. And he would repeatedly call me aggressive and stuff as part of the gaslighting. And then 2 months later, my best friend called me aggressive in a WhatsApp. And I was like, how dare she?
No.
And I still haven't spoken to her about it. It is a conversation that will come up at some stage. And when that happens, I'm kind of like, I don't really react. But afterwards, my natural reaction now is I just start pulling away from those people.
Yeah, you have
and I'm just
to.
Like, yeah, because I don't even have the energy to discuss it with them. I have to be really honest. I don't. I can't even be like sitting there and be like, you did this. And I'm just kind of like, if someone's sharing their insecurities with you and you know their deepest, darkest things, like, why are you picking at that shit?
Yeah, they're using it against you.
On a side note though, not with you, okay. In a different situation I've had.
Yeah.
So I know someone who had a fight with somebody and the other person pointed out like a flaw that this person has. I like help them through that situation and support them through that situation. But then what if they do actually have that flaw? Like, and you can't, then it's hard because without, say, using an insecurity to pick a fight with them. But what if you realize the flaw is actually true?
like, it's like that TikTok, what am I, the drama, me, who, me, but
yeah,
but like, yeah, but like, then oh, I think yeah. everyone has to have that certain level of self-awareness, isn't it? And I think when you do have an argument, you should like go back and reflect on it and sort of give time for that self-awareness to kick in and really reassess everything and be like, am I the problem here? Did I do something wrong as well? Like, it can't always be the other person, right? You have to take like a level of responsibility for stuff yourself. But this is what I was going to say about insecurities and stuff. And I think sometimes when you are really tight with someone, and this is what I keep getting told by anyone that I speak to about this, is that other people use your insecurities to project their own shit. Like when they're going through something, sometimes people are just projectors. So they'll like slam your insecurities in your face to project that they're going through something. Apparently,
yeah,
which doesn't and I'm like, okay, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do in that situation then. So
yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like projecting all their own shit to everyone.
I know.
It's all our childhood traumas just sort of like bouncing and hitting everyone else.
Yeah.
And just,
if I wish we could see it, like if it was a physical thing.
Yeah, we could
thing,
just like be like, okay, we dodged it.
Just enough.
Is it?
Oh, man. On the note of insecurities though, I can't stand when people are insecure about, you know, like self-esteem and stuff. Like they wouldn't say if you achieve something that's really good, or they would never put themselves in that position. And then they're like, do you think you can do that? Or like, you know, just like holding you back a little bit. I don't like that. Like self-doubt, that kind of thing. You know, people who are not very inspiring. And because they're not very inspiring or they don't aim high, they wouldn't then kind of like encourage you to do the same. But I think you just have to work out who would be the person to talk to about that kind of shit.
I think we all need new friends.
I think you might be right.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to join, you know, Bumble for their friendship. You know, they do friendship matches on Bumble.
Do they?
Yeah, you can find, they've got three aspects of it. So it's like friendship, dating, and then I think one's like business networking or some shit.
Business.
Yeah, God knows.
Oh.
So we have to be there.
Oh, I might join for friends, you know. I might actually join for friends. Should we join? Should we all join for friends and then come back and see what happens?
No, they wouldn't just...
Definitely not toxic behavior.
No, we'll invite them to your gig. That's not we'll invite them to your gig.
Yeah, oh my God.
Okay, so what are you saying thank you next to?
To allowing insecurities to take control of your feelings and actions.
Bye, bitch. Yeah, we're not having that.
Cool. So we're on to lesson three. One taught me
not to lose myself within the relationship and always retain my identity and independence.
She just needed to take a second there. She take a little second.
This is a big one.
Yeah.
This is a big one. How did you realize that you needed to do this?
There was a moment in my life that I'll never forget. So I was in an 8-year relationship. And when we split up, we were living together for like maybe 6.5 of those 8 years.
Oh, shit.
And when we broke up and I had to, like, we obviously moved out, I was like thinking about what furniture to buy. And I was like, I don't even know what I like.
Oh, no.
Because everything was like a joint decision. So we would go and buy furniture together. We would decorate the flat together and blah, blah, blah. And when I
think this is a Pisces thing, you know, I feel like we are easily swayed.
It's because we're so relaxed and easygoing and chill. Because we go with the flow. But anyway, so like when we split up and I had to like get my own place and buy my own furniture, I literally was like, I don't know who I am anymore. Like, I don't know what I like.
Oh my God.
What colors do I even like?
No.
What kind of bed do I want? What kind of, like, you know what I mean? All of these like simple things that are just part of the decisions that you make if you're an individual person.
Yeah.
But because for so many years, I was just making joint decisions on these things, I was like, I don't know who I am anymore. And I vowed that day. I was like, I'm never going to allow this to happen again.
That's really interesting. I didn't see when I asked you this question that you were going to go into furniture and house stuff. But that's interesting because it's very, you know, it shows you how it works on a daily basis.
But isn't it crazy that that's an 8-year relationship and you've realized at the end of that 8-year relationship that.
Yeah, that was really tough.
Yeah.
So what were the steps to coming back to you?
I guess just like starting to make those decisions by yourself and then asking yourself like what you want.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I am talking about furniture, but it goes with like a lot of other things as well. That's kind of more of a metaphor for other things, really.
Yeah.
And then like to get back into dating and stuff as well. It's like, because I was with someone for almost a decade, I was like, what kind of dates do I like? What kind of things do I enjoy doing? Like, I just had to learn all these things again.
Was that scary?
Fucking so scary. So scary. And it's still scary.
Oh my God.
Aww. Well, we're proud of you.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
100%. 100%. And like, have you set any like boundaries for yourself so, you know, you don't do that in the next relationship?
I don't think I want to live with someone again.
Really?
Interesting. I think that's the key to success.
Maybe this is partly coming from the fear of the furniture situation.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think on the whole, because I know more of like who I am now, and I just, if I'm surrounded by another person's energy all the time, then I know that I'll be like, I'll always kind of want to take care of them and want to like do, like kind of be the giver in that relationship. And I just know that unless I give myself that space, then I'm always going to kind of go into that pattern.
It's hard.
And I also want to, it's really hard. And like, I also want to always invite a partner into my space and being like, let's make time for each other. Like, come over, let's order food, let's watch TV, or like, let's chill or have some wine or whatever. Like, I always want that to be like special. Like, I want the time to be accounted for and not just like, oh, we're both not doing anything, let's just hang out.
Yeah.
Like, I want to make time, and I want that partner to make time for me rather than it's just like there.
Yeah,
I like that.
I really like that too. It's really interesting. I never thought about that, but I kind of found myself getting into really bad habits about a week ago. I was staying with a friend, and I was doing that thing where it was like I was taking care of her, and I was just like anticipating her needs and all of that, rather than being like, I've got this to do today, why haven't I done it? Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
so
when you said that, it was like, shit, that's you, Raj.
But then everyone's different, right? So like, there are, I guess, people who can cohabit a space, but I just know that it didn't work for me, and it was ultimately like I lost so much of myself putting myself in that living situation for so long.
But it doesn't mean it's going to be the same with like every person as well. So I don't know. It's like one of those things, you know, you never know. Maybe they'll let you decorate the room in your however.
Maybe they'll be the giver and I'm just the taker.
Like, just you want pink furniture? Order it.
Yeah. Have you got any relationships where it's the other way around, where you're not giving so much and maybe you're...
This is a kind of toxic trait of mine, but I think when the other person likes me more, it like completely turns me off.
Oh, I'm the same. Oh, is my that, God.
That's
no,
quite
I don't
toxic.
Think it is.
I think that's
how
quite
can
toxic.
It be toxic. It's just a bit.
I think it actually is. Yeah. Well,
is
I think
it?
Because it's like the chase that you like.
It's the it's the availability that
yeah,
you...
if someone likes me, I'm just like, it's, what? Yeah. Why?
I'm just like, shit, what? Like, get off me.
Interesting.
I didn't know.
It's what I said.
Yeah, I was thinking about
it. It's what I said. I can't remember if we chatted about this on the podcast before, but a friend of mine was like, only the guys who come up to me are weird. And then a guy said, the girls that come up to me are weird. And I was like, isn't it always the ones that come up to you think are weird, but they're the ones who wanted to come up to you, but as soon as they actually did, you're saying they're weird. And I was like, think about that. Think about that for a second.
It's a toxic thing. It's because you always want like the chase, and that's what drives you. We're toxic, bitch.
I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to think about it. I'm just like, how's that work?
Sometimes I look, I think past at my like previous relationships, and I'm like, am I the toxic one? Because they all have one thing in common, and that's me.
Oh my God! Stop!
I'd say probably a mixture of both, innit? That's what I'm learning to realize.
Oh my God, I don't know. I've just learned that I'm toxic. There's a lot going on right now. There's a lot to take in right now. I completely agree with this lesson. Like, I feel like I have fallen into codependent. Sort of situation.
Codependency.
Yeah.
Have you read that book, Codependent No More?
No.
It's really interesting. So I'm reading it. I've been reading it for fucking
Have you
ages.
Finished the Attached just... book, mate? What's going on? Okay.
I open books and I read like one page maybe a month, and it's really bad, really bad.
I do that too. Yeah. I do that too. I buy books, I don't read them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm reading now. I'm reading today. And then 2 years later, I'm still reading. But basically, it starts off talking about how people who are like, you're going out with an alcoholic, or you're going out with someone who's got an addiction, and then the person who's actually like with them, the support person, and why they're with person and why they would choose that person and the kind of relationships they have, but not just people who are addicts. Like, it's got a long list of what would classify as a codependent relationship, and the list goes on for genuinely a chapter. So it's not just what I just said there, but it's kind of like all about the struggle of waiting for them to change, when actually if you just like fucked off, you wouldn't be going through the struggle. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And all of my codependency shit came from living with the person, which is interesting that you've had a similar sort of experience, because then maybe it is something to do with like living together, that like things just get escalated and heightened.
Yeah, because then it's like your space is not your space, is it? It's your, both your space.
Yeah, you don't have a space of your
own. It's just like you're in each other's like thoughts all the time, and you're all like physically. I think the physical thing is a big thing. Because if you're just physically with someone all the time, you just expect them to be there. And then if they're like not home, you're like, when are you coming? Like, I don't know. It's too much. It's too much.
No, that's what I used to get. So he would be like, what time are you coming home? Are you home? What are we making for dinner? Like, you know, I wouldn't do after work drinks or like anything. Like, I would do nothing. And I'd just be like rushing home, and it'd be like, okay, we're having this for dinner. Or if I was meeting my friends, he would like come and meet me there afterwards. And it would just be a lot. It would be a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. So my whole thing is like, take it slow, try and, you know, keep time for yourself. Because like, you know, the beginning of a relationship, that's when you're all giddy about each other and you're all like in each other's pockets and stuff like that. So it's like, how do you've just got to keep like a couple of days away to yourself, even during that time.
To like miss each other as well.
Yeah. I feel like I like putting things in boxes and having rules, even though I don't follow them myself, lol. But I feel like logically it's nice to have them. But I think like once a week max, you got to see, like, that's it. No more.
Really?
Yeah.
See them once a
week? Max.
No, I could do more than that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Good, like, arm's length.
No, once you've established a relationship with this person, you can't just see them just once a week.
Are you talking to them every day?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
If they're lucky. No, yeah, honestly. No, yeah. Do I talk to them every day, once a week? I'm good with that.
Oh, I'm a bit more needy than that.
Oh, I am needy. Like, but...
Hardy's built these walls. This person needs to come and... you know, knock them down.
It's like moving a mountain. I don't know that song. Yosha, moving mountains.
No,
moving
mate, I don't remember that one. I actually don't remember
that
one.
He's like crying. He's like, keep clapping and hope things would change. And the sky turns grey and the water from the rain washes something away. He's like, moving mountains. How do you not know about moving mountains? He's like crying.
Are you singing it out of tune?
Yeah, obviously I can't sing.
Oh, right.
That's how he sings, isn't it? He's like, moving mountains.
No. You're so right. Funny, man.
That was gorgeous.
Thank you.
We are going to enter into like Pop Idol, X Factor, one of those things the future.
You should.
We will. We'll do it when Ariana Grande is the judge, so we could be like, bitch, come on our podcast. Like,
oh my god, what is she? She's a judge on The Voice, isn't she?
Yeah,
is she?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, but like, honestly, the level of talent that she says yes to, my god, it's crazy. I'm always like, I just keep getting served TikToks, and I'm like, okay, Ariana, I see what you're doing. So what are you saying thank you next to?
To becoming one.
Yeah, I love that you use a Spice Girls reference, because like, that is actually, I feel like that's what we get taught like from a young age onwards, that like, that is what a healthy relationship is. That's what love is, when two people become one.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Spice Girls song was about sex.
But... Yeah, it was. But when we were little, it wasn't, right?
Yeah. it was about like holding hands and stuff. But like, no, I totally get that, where they're like one unit, you have to like whatever. And it's like, no, we can figure out what's best for each of us.
Yeah, it's fine. We can be two people in a union, but not one fucking person. We don't function as one person.
A union.
No, because it's that thing, isn't it? And then it's almost like you can't go somewhere without the other, or like you can't go out on a night when the other one isn't going out. Just weird things like that. Like you act like you're one freaking entity and you're not.
It should just be 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah.
We should just call this Single Bitches Podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Do you have any final words that you want to share with the listeners?
Hi.
Hello. How do people check you out, and where do we get your podcast?
I was like, I do this too. Why don't I know what to say? You can find me on all socials at oneohanniooh. And I have a podcast as well called Don't Call Me Exotic. And you can listen to that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Acast, or wherever you like to listen to your favorite shows. I'm currently working on series 2 with some bonus stuff coming out before Christmas.
That's exciting.
So. Amazing. Yes. So what can we expect? What new stuff can we expect?
Oh, you'll have to see.
Oh, not giving anything away.
And if we want to see you, if we want to see you out DJing, where are we going?
Oh yeah, we'll come to Box Park in Shoreditch on the 30th of December. That's the better night to go out, to be fair, than New Year's Eve, I think.
Yeah, definitely. The cabs will be cheaper.
If we could, listen, the cabs need to sort themselves out before New Year's because I'm not walking around everywhere.
Nah.
I can't. This is too much. It's stressing me out. I honestly get anxiety about going to gigs now because I'm like, how am I going to get home?
No, that's actually really shit. Thank you for listening to this episode of Thank You Next. Make sure you share this episode with someone who needs to stop having high expectations on other human beings.
Or someone who needs to find some independence within their relationships.
Or somebody who is like a walking projector. Projecting shit onto you.
If you feel like you need to tell us something about any of the stories that Annie shared with us, whether that's people projecting on you, whether that's losing independence or how to keep your independence in a relationship, then you know what? Email us or leave us a voice note because we love hearing your voice. It's hi@thankyounextpodcast.gmail.com or you can slide in the DMs on socials. We're Thank You Next Pod on Insta, TikTok, and Twitter.
If you like what you heard, make sure you hit subscribe or follow us on Acast, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And do not forget to give us a review so other people can find us.
We'll be back next week with more shit we want to say thank you next to and potentially some Mava updates, some Made in Chelsea updates.
Oh, wow.
Why don't we go for a Mava hunt and actually go to Chelsea for our next brunch?
Absolutely not.
What do you mean absolutely not?
I don't want to talk to her.
You should go up to her and be like, Mava, do you want to have sex with me?
Why would I do that?
Because that's what she did to Miles. So it's like you're doing the same thing back to her.
Oh, right. No, I'm not trolling her.
You're so funny. I do hope people share with us like some Mava stories and that.
It's a very specific niche request, but if you have any Mava, anything.
If you know anyone that watches Made in Chelsea, like, ask them.
Also, does anyone like Made in Chelsea? Every time I tell people I like Made in Chelsea, they're so like confused. They're like, why? I fucking love it.
I mean, I still watch Made in Chelsea and I don't watch TOWIE anymore. And I used to watch TOWIE before. But I feel like TOWIE is more like that now. Like where it's like, yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't like TOWIE. It's boring. It's stupid. They argue over dumb stuff.
I don't like TOWIE anymore because I don't know anyone that's in it anymore. And I don't care. I'm not invested in anyone because I don't know who they are anymore.
Damn. Soz TOWIE.
Soz.
Imagine if we featured on an episode of Made in Chelsea.
I mean, we could. I live close enough to Chelsea.
There we go.
We could. It's driving distance.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, but
next.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.